Happy Advent. Beginning the season of Advent, the great time of anticipation and preparation for Christmas. In Advent, we prepare for Jesus' coming. And there's actually three comings of Christ. We have the obvious one, celebrating when God became man, when Jesus became incarnate in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But if you noticed in our gospel, we didn't hear much about that. We did have a bit of a prophecy about Jesus' first coming from Jeremiah in our first reading. But in our gospel, Jesus is saying something rather different. He's talking about there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Nations will be in dismay. People will be dying in fright in anticipation of what's coming. The powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's certainly not talking about the manger in Bethlehem. That's apocalyptic language. It's actually a continuation of the same chapter from Luke that we were reading a few weeks ago. And as I said a couple weeks ago, partially this is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, but partially it's also talking about the end of the world, which is still to come. In Advent, we prepare and meditate on the second coming of Christ in glory, when he will return to earth, visible for all to see as the undisputed King of creation and the judge of the living and the dead. This is the second coming of Christ at the end of the world. But there's a third coming of Christ also. This third coming is not a physical presence of Christ the way the first two are. The second coming is one of great glory and power. The first was one of humility in the manger. The third coming is even more hidden than the first coming. The third is the invisible coming of Jesus into our souls in the grace of the sacraments and in prayer. This is how Jesus comes and meets us here and now as we live between Bethlehem and the end times. And we also prepare for this invisible coming of Christ during Advent. Since, of course, we want Jesus to come and dwell in our souls even more this Christmas. We want to have more of Jesus' life and power in our lives. We want to have him closer to us as a result of this Advent and Christmas season. So we're preparing for that this Advent, preparing to celebrate his first coming among us, making sure we're prepared for his second coming one day, and preparing our hearts for him to come and dwell with us ever more fully by his grace, especially in the sacraments and in the Eucharist. And we love Advent. We love preparing for Christmas. We love celebrating Jesus' coming among us, him bringing peace and justice, grace and true life. And it brings us great joy every year. But preparing for Jesus' coming doesn't only bring us joy. Sometimes it also brings us anxiety, especially if we're thinking about Jesus' second coming at the end of the world, or thinking about us meeting Jesus, the judge of the living and the dead, when we die. This can make us worry. And Jesus does indeed warn us in our gospel today, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now maybe you're thinking, Father, what's all this talk about the end of the world and doom and gloom? We're supposed to be getting ready for Christmas. It's supposed to be a time of peace and happiness. Well, we certainly are getting ready for Jesus' coming, but Jesus comes among us to bring the kingdom of heaven. He comes to bring a kingdom of love. And in a kingdom of love, where is the place for hatred? There's no place for hatred in a kingdom of love. Jesus brings a kingdom of peace, and there's no place for war, fighting, and resentment in a kingdom of peace. Jesus brings a kingdom of justice, and there's no place for stealing, embezzlement, fraud, or swindling in a kingdom of justice. And this sounds great. Who wouldn't want to live where there's no war, no hatred, no injustice, no fraud? That's great, right? Except this isn't only talking about the evils that are out there in the world, in other people. This also refers to the evils that are in here, in our own hearts. In Jesus' kingdom of love, there is no place for the hatreds and resentments that we carry around with us. In Jesus' kingdom of truth, there's no place for the lies that we tell others. In Jesus' kingdom of purity, there's no place for the lustful thoughts and actions that we cling to. In Jesus' kingdom of justice and service, there's no place for our selfishness, for making ourselves most important and ignoring the needs of others. It's kind of like going to Menards. I'll get there. Maybe as you're getting ready to set up your tree, you'll go to Menards and, you know, go see the Christmas village with all the beautiful decorations. But I'm not talking about that section of the store. I'm talking about the other section where they have all the light fixtures on display, all the ceiling fans and the lights and the lamps. And if you've been there, you know all the lights are lit up. There's lights all around. It's a very bright place. Well, imagine standing in the middle of all of those lights. And let's just take it a bit further. Imagine instead of having, say, 40-watt bulbs in there, they all had 150-watt bulbs, you know, as bright as you can imagine. And imagine the floors, too, and the walls are all just glowing very brightly, total light. And now imagine that you said you wanted to bring some darkness into that place. You had some darkness you wanted to bring with you there. What would happen? Well, it wouldn't work. When lights shine someplace, darkness vanishes. It's destroyed instantly. Darkness and light can't exist together, not when the light is powerful and all around. There's no place for darkness there. And that's a direct analogy for the kingdom of heaven. There's no place for darkness in Jesus' kingdom of light. There's no place for evil and sin in Jesus' kingdom of heaven. We might well want to bring our favorite sins into heaven with us, but we will not be able to. They would be destroyed. And if we clung to them, we would be destroyed also. We can no more enter the kingdom of heaven while still clinging to our sins than we could bring darkness into the light fixture area of Menards. It's simply impossible based on the nature of things. We can't bring our resentment, lust, our greed, our anger, or any of our other sins into the kingdom of heaven with us. We can do one of two things. We could let our sins keep us outside of that kingdom, or we can let go of our sins, repent of them, and ask forgiveness and continue on and enter without them. And this isn't just about ultimately entering heaven and at the second coming of Christ and the final judgment. We do need to repent of our sins so that we can stand before the Son of Man on that day. That's the day of the final test of what's important to us, what's most important, whether it's God or our sins. But this is also about the hidden coming of Christ, the coming of Christ into our hearts and into our souls, hidden coming of Christ in grace. Because if we hold on to our sins, if we don't repent of them, if we hold on to that darkness, Jesus is not able to enter our hearts. If we choose darkness over and over again, then Jesus, the light of the world, will not enter our hearts. If Jesus entered our hearts, his light would destroy the darkness of our sins, but he won't do that if we persistently choose our sins instead of him. He doesn't force himself on us. By our sin, then, by our refusing to repent, we can prevent Christ from coming into our hearts more fully. It's very sad, but we can choose that. We have the freedom. This Christmas season, Jesus very much wants to draw near to us, to come closer to us, but we need to be willing to let him take away our sins. So that's another way that we prepare for Christmas, this Advent season. We prepare our hearts by repenting of our sins and asking forgiveness, making room for Jesus to come and dwell in our hearts. We have a great opportunity to do that next week. We'll have our Day of Mercy. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, December 12th. We'll have lots of priests here all day long from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Lots of priests to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, that beautiful sacrament Jesus left us, where we can tell God that we're sorry for our sins, and Jesus can give us his forgiveness through the ministry of the priest. And we can hear those beautiful words, "Your sins are forgiven." I encourage you, especially if it's been a while for you, come to confession. If you want Jesus to come and dwell in your heart and your family more this Christmas, come make some room for him in your heart. Come renounce the things in your life that are contrary to everything his kingdom is about. Let him take them away so that he can dwell with you once again. If this Christmas, bring your family to celebrate the sacrament with you. We'll have lots of priests, so the lines will be short. This Christmas, if you want your family to have joy and peace and love, then come ask Jesus to free you from the chaos and sorrow and hatred of sin. Invite him to destroy the darkness in your heart so that his light may shine in you. So through repentance, through prayer, and through good works, let's prepare for the comings of Christ so that we can welcome him more and more into our hearts and into our lives this Christmas.